Welcome to the Full of Money audio commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:43 Irish Summer Time. Today is May 27th, and this has been another really rather interesting day. Oil fell more than $3 today, actually closer to $4 at one point, and that pulled back a lot of the other commodities. We saw that you had oil down $3.63, and gold was down nearly $23. Silver was down 84 cents, which is really rather a large downward dynamic there. It also caps the advance over the last couple of weeks and limits the trading really over the last few months to this range that we've seen, and probably looks like we could see there's the potential for silver to go back and test the lower side of the range around $16. What we continue to see is that markets have been nervous and getting increasingly nervous over the last few weeks and months about the price of oil. Oil peaked, well, I think it's a bit premature to say peaked, but oil hit a high last week of $135 and has retreated from that by about, well, a little less than $7 in here right now. There's nothing has really happened to shake the complacency of the bulls in this market. We can certainly see that sentiment is getting a bit fearful in here about among a number of other investors, but those who are long of oil. This is so far a really rather orderly correction. One of the main consistency characteristics that we've seen in the oil advance is that it is a step se well, it is a step sequence uptrend, and each of those steps is one above another. What we've seen recently is that those steps have got shorter in duration and that the distance between them has got wider. In other words, the trend is picking up pace. But what we can script the what this will look like when it ends, because if this is starting to accelerate, all it needs is to have a reaction that is bigger than the previous reaction, or a step that dips back into one of the previous steps, and that's going to be a clear indication that something has changed in the dynamics between supply and demand in this particular uptrend. We haven't had that just yet. This is so far a reasonably orderly correction, although $3.65 pulling back is enough to move other markets. Gold was down $23 today. This is a reasonable downward dynamic, and what we're seeing with the precious metals is that they're encountering a little bit of resistance toward the upper side of their ranges. Platinum was also down today. Silver, in particular, had this big downward dynamic today, and particularly when it's coming from the upper side of the range, there is, I think, a temptation, particularly among short-term traders, to say that if it can't go up, it'll probably go down. So there is the potential for it to pull back a little bit further unless it finds support and rallies really rather well tomorrow. And I think that has a lot to do with what oil does. Looking at some of these other commodities, well, rice has been hitting headlines over the last few months, but it was down its limit again today. And this is looking like a short to medium term downtrend, progression of lower highs and lower lows. So certainly a medium term correction in that particular commodity, and we can say the same for a number of those other soft commodities. There continues to be quite a bit of hysteria about the price of food, but in actual fact, most of those food prices peaked out in March and have entered medium term corrections. I can't think of a commodity other than in the energy complex right now that is hitting all-time new highs. So that is certainly something to be aware of. Now, if we do see oil pulling back, and we know what that's going to look like when it starts to pull backwards, but if we do start to see oil pulling backwards, that's going to be really quite bullish for equity markets. But it's also going to be bullish from the point of view of inflation, because if we see oil pulling back, that is going to help to rein in those inflationary expectations, and it is going to help in the interest rate environment 3 to 6 months from now, when that medium term correction, when it occurs, starts to filter through. Again, there is no evidence that oil has peaked in here just yet, but it is certainly something to keep an eye on. Looking at how equity markets performed today, the Nikkei in Japan was one of the better performers. It was up in excess of 1%, almost 1.5% today. The TOPIX banks also had a reasonably good day with I think what could be classed as an upward dynamic. What we're starting to see is that we're getting a bit of firming in the Nikkei, as it's holding around the upper side of this ranging formation, and it's looking quite positive generally. The outlook in Europe was relatively mixed. We've seen that a number of those markets did rather well last week, and they have started pulling back over the last few days. The S&P and the Dow, they both got hit really quite hard over the last 3 days, and the Dow in particular broke its short-term uptrend. So it needs to find support and rally back up and make new highs to reassert the bullish outlook for the short to medium term. In the medium term, I think there's a much greater chance that these markets are going to continue to range around, and it's going to be very difficult trading, where probably the easiest money is going to be buying the dips and selling the rallies. But as long as these markets hold above their January to March lows, and potentially if they find support above those levels, well, then it's going to be hard going and certainly going to try people's patience, but buy and hold could be a better strategy. Again, I think it's premature to think about it in here right now. The Nasdaq has not fallen nearly as much as the Dow or the S&P, and it found support quite well in here today. It was up over 1.5%. So that is really quite positive action. And the Nasdaq has led on the upside all the way here. So really, for the Nasdaq, if the Nasdaq were to break the progression of rising lows or have a larger reaction, well, then that would be a negative for the S&P or the Dow, but there's no sign of that just yet. And the reaction it's had so far has been quite shallow, and today's recovery was really quite impressive, I thought. So there is potential for the Nasdaq to continue to lead on the upside. Canada was also down 1.6% in here. Of course, that is also in line with the oil price. It had that key reversal last week, and we're getting some follow-through in here today. Given, of course, that the resources markets have performed so remarkably well over the last 3 months, and we've seen a number of them hitting new highs, it will be instructive to see how they perform when we if Well, when and if we see oil pulling back. The Canadian stock market should continue to do very well over the long term because it has such remarkable access to so many large resources, or large deposits of resources that are in the ground, and it's a remarkably stable part of the world. So the pullback here, I'm just going to pull that chart up, is probably something to watch because these markets have performed well on the basis that resources were leading on the upside. And Canada coming back up to a potential area, or back down to a potential area of support in here around the 14,500 level. But that was a quite a large key last week, and it really does need to push back above 15,000 to reassert the uptrend, while a move back below 14,000 would tell us that this was going to spend quite a bit more time in this area. The bond markets were relatively quiet earlier in the day, but as oil started to weaken and the equity markets started to rally, you had the U.S. Treasury down in excess of 1 full point at 15.21. Again, this has been, I reiterated a number of times that this is an extended top formation in government bond prices. You had that accelerated high back in January, and they've come nowhere near testing that high since then. And they've been a bit slow falling, but of course that is also in line with the fact that so many investors have been quite shy about taking their money out of bonds and back into equities. It's going to take time for sentiment to recover because the fact that we've had much larger reactions on this occasion than we've seen in the last 5 years has shaken investor complacency and certainly shaken their faith in the equity markets in the medium term. So it will take time for those markets, for investor sentiment to recover. The dollar was also marginally stronger in here today. The euro down to 156.91, so just below 157. The dollar continues to look like a congenitally weak currency, but it has certainly steadied around its all-time lows on the dollar index, and it's been ranging for much of the last 3 months. We're certainly getting a steadying up above the around the 71 area on the dollar index, but it needs to push back above 74, I think significantly above 74, realistically, probably above 76, to indicate that a medium term to long term bottom is in for the dollar index. Given the way that the dollar has topped out on these major turning points in the past, this could take a significant amount of time, upwards of a year, potentially even longer, where we could see a number of quite impressive rallies and then falling back to test the lows or potentially make new lows. So there's going to be plenty of time to get used to the idea that the dollar is bottoming out, and we're probably in the very early stages of that now, although I wouldn't rule out further lows for the dollar index in the medium term. I think the most important thing that is happening in here today is the fact that commodity prices continue to weaken. The other story that was of interest was that you had house prices, or house sales, I should say, rising for the first time in 30 months in California, which is certainly something to make the headlines. I'll read the news story here. This case says more foreclosure auctions may hasten recovery of housing market, and California housing demand revives as bargain hunters buy foreclosed homes. There's a vast number of foreclosed homes have been on sale in California since the beginning of this year. And if this is starting to entice buyers back into the market, because obviously there are, I think, upwards of 40% having been, well, a number of these markets have had a 40% haircut in the last couple of years. That is potentially good news, particularly for those banks who have continued to have this inventory on their books, and I'm sure they would be quite happy to be able to get rid of it. So that's quite positive news. Of course, the housing market is going to take a long time to recover, and what we've seen in the last 2 or 3 years has been a change. 3 years ago, you had massive swings of capital into the housing markets because it was viewed as a bet that couldn't go wrong. That's no longer the case. And while the housing market could potentially recover over the medium to longer term, we are in a new inflationary environment where the cost of borrowing is likely to rise, and that is likely to put a cap on the advances of real estate. What we are starting to see now is a realization that the commodity markets are probably where the next big bull market is going to develop, and I would argue is already developing. And it is probably going to be the asset class that is going to outperform more often than not in the coming cycle. So there is a very strong likelihood that we're going to see considerable flows of capital into the space over the medium to longer term. That doesn't just mean that we're going to see money flowing into commodity index funds. Of course, there's going to be also a large amount of capital flowing into equities and into the bond markets for these companies. Of course, they should have no problem issuing debt, considering the cash levels that so many of these companies have right now. And I think that will be increasingly realized by investors. So we've had a shift out of one asset class that was outperforming, and we're moving into a realization that commodities is where the action is going to be, probably for the next decade. And that is certainly something that we will be talking about, I think, for a very long time to come. But thank you very much for your time, and have a great evening.